Good morning, everyone. And it's a beautiful summer's day today. Morning. So everybody's welcome after the service to come through to the small hall for a cup of tea. We're having a special extra offering today for Sri Lanka, because you'll remember that on Easter Sunday, 250 worshippers were massacred in their churches and in hotels in Colombo in Sri Lanka. And we're showing solidarity and sympathy for them by an offering, but we're also having these ribbons on the pews and outside on the gates. And we're grateful to Linda McDougall for doing that. We'll say more about this later on in the service. There's a service this afternoon at 2 o'clock in Arranview, and you're welcome to come with myself and the choir. You have most of the intimations there. Let me just highlight: on Wednesday at 11, the midweek worship; Thursday at 10:30, the prayer time. There's no choir practice, as announced there. And on Friday, we're starting the discussion groups again, up in Audrey's house. Still okay? Yeah? Good? And you're all welcome to come on Friday night to Audrey's for a series of 5 Friday nights where we discuss whatever is in your hearts and minds at the time and be related to the Bible and to each other's experience in life. This is a way for the church to meet together. You can sit for years in the pews and not know the name of somebody 5 rows in front. This is a way we get to know each other. On Friday, we have the office open and volunteers. Could I encourage you to come and help with the church cleaning on the inside and the grounds on the outside? As you can imagine, in summertime, there's more work to be done. So any help is most appreciated. Also, with regard to that, there's a bit of a gap in the flower list at the moment. So we're kind of looking urgently for some more flowers or the money to buy the flowers. If you'd like to donate, either way, it's most appreciated at this time. The General Assembly of the Church of Scotland begins on Friday. Please bear it in mind in your prayers. If you'd like to follow the General Assembly, if you're online, you just go onto the Church of Scotland's website. If you want more details, see me after the service. And I have an email here from Andrew Taylor. He's had an accident. His usual habit is to take out the bins and then bring them back in at 8 in the morning, and he helps the 3 old ladies opposite, the old ladies being 70 years old, which is 20 years younger than him. And as he was taking their bins back, he tripped on the curb and fell. He lay there bleeding until a little boy came along, and he went and got his dad. So he was taken to the hospital, where they discovered he had a broken wrist and a number of fractured ribs. So he's looking forward to his next church engagement in a week on Sunday, but I'm not so sure he'll be able to do that one. But we're thinking about him in our prayers and wish him well, and with his spirit, I'm sure he'll bounce back fairly quick. Today, we're thinking about Jesus and his resurrection appearances. Jesus is risen. He has bounced back. He is with us. And he can raise us up too. So let us worship him and sing to his praise and glory in hymn 286. The head that once was crowned with thorns is crowned with glory now. 286 in the Red Book. We live in an ill-divided world full of life and death. The last word, the ultimate word, is life. Let us pray. Risen Lord Jesus, we praise and thank you for living, dying, and rising again for us. By your death, we gain eternal life. By your wounds, we are healed. By your humiliation, we are exalted. By your coming down to earth, we gain access to heaven above. You rose like the rising sun after the darkest night. You rose like the emerging spring after the cold winter. You rose like a cork bobbing back to the surface. You rose like a phoenix from the ashes. You rose like a butterfly emerging from a caterpillar. You rose like a fetus emerging from the womb. You rose like an Easter lily bursting through the soil. You rose like a chicken breaking through its eggshell. You rose like Jonah spat from the whale. You rose like Lazarus coming forth from the tomb. We celebrate your rising again because it means that we can rise too. You raise us up from our griefs like Mary, our guilts like Peter, our doubts like Thomas, from our bewilderment like Cleopas, and our misplaced zeal like Paul. We also praise and thank you in anticipation, because you will raise us up as if on eagle's wings to soar to new heights. You will raise us up to mountaintop exhilarating experiences. You will raise us up from shadowy valley lows. You will raise us up to run and not grow weary, to walk and not faint. You will raise us up to be more than conquerors. You will raise us up at the last to eternal life. And you will raise us up to heaven to be with yourself forever and ever. Lord, hear us as we join together to pray the words you taught us to say. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Well, good morning. So as you're coming to church today, did you spot the big posters outside? Yeah. What did it say? Christian Aid, right. And did you see ribbons? White ribbons. So that's a new thing. Today we're thinking about people less fortunate than we are. All around the world, there are people who are hungry, homeless, all kinds of reasons to be not so blessed as we are. So this is Christian Aid Week, and this is Christian Aid Sunday. But today we're particularly thinking about one thing in particular. A place called Sri Lanka. Don't know if you know anything about Sri Lanka. Up hands, anybody's been to Sri Lanka? Oh. When were you in Sri Lanka?
15 years ago.
Right. And we had someone else? Kathleen? Anybody else? I nearly went there. I was asked to go there to be a minister for 3 months. But I didn't want to leave for 3 months and go there, so I didn't go. I didn't know you'd been, but I knew that Kathleen had been. And I've asked her to come out and tell us a wee bit about it. Anything you want to tell us about it? What was your memory of Sri Lanka?
I went just after the tsunami hit it.
Oh, just recently?
Yeah, and it was 15 years ago when it happened first time. And it was just seen as a devastation everywhere, but unfortunately, I was just going to have my life as well.
Come over. Catherine, can you come up here a bit? Yes. It's causing interference. I'll come back a wee bit. After the tsunami, you remember how many folk died? Thousands. Right. So, Kathleen, you were there.
2011.
Yep. And would you like to share with us why you were there? And you've got some pictures to show as well.
Would, if I stand this way, maybe you could see them better. Right. That's the ship that I went out to visit. Now, it sounds funny going all the way to Sri Lanka to visit a ship, but that's what I was doing. I had been sent by our minister. Our minister was from Pakistan at the time, and he had been on that ship as a volunteer. It's a Christian mission ship. That's its main aim in life, is Christian mission.
There you are.
There you go. That's me, standing at the stern there. Anyway, went out with a small group of people. Five of us all together went out to visit this ship. And we flew from Manchester. It's a very long journey, as you'll know. It's a terribly long journey, 14 hours in a plane. Not fun. But anyway, that's what we were there for, to see the work, the Christian work that goes on in that ship. Now, they're mostly young people. They're from 18 to 35 is the age range, usually. And they're all volunteers. They don't get paid for going and working in that ship. They get pocket money, but they don't get a wage. They go out there for maybe 1 year, 2 years, 3 years, whatever. And they work on that ship, and they do various things. On the deck of the ship, that's some of the children from the church. Look, boys and girls. They don't look very happy right enough. There's not a smiling face among them, but I think they had never had their picture taken before, maybe. But that's me with some of the children out of the church. So, one, Harry, please. Thank you. Right. This, if you look at the boys and girls there, that's the nursery. And if you look at them, they're all wearing uniform. They're so smart. They're all wearing uniform. Red and white were the colours. The boys and the girls. And they all sat at these tables. There was another group down the other side. And they all sat at the tables. And not a toy in sight, by the way. No toys. Hardly any books either, but no toys. Nothing there. Okay? So what we did there, we sang them a few songs and we told them a Bible story. And in English. The teachers understood English. I don't think the boys and girls did, but they copied our songs, they copied the actions and tried to join in. So, see how very different that is from your nursery corner, eh? It's not like yours, is it? I'm sure it's not. Right, that's some of the ship's crew, the engineers who keep the ship running. And that was them just having their lunch. Right, next one, Harry, please. Right, there's some of the books. Now, on one deck of this ship, they have books. A whole library of books, thousands of books. And that's some of the books waiting to be unpacked and sorted out. Now, they're not all in the Sri Lankan. Most of them were in English. But when the ship was open for visitors, there was a huge queue round the harbour. The place we were at was called Gaul or Gal, depends which way you want to say it. Colombo is 119 miles of kilometres away from Colombo. So we landed in Colombo and we drove down to, and that was a scary journey. It was night and the traffic was terrible. What did you think of the traffic in Sri Lanka? It's terrible. Anyway, that's the books waiting to be unpacked. Next one, please, Harry. Now, boys and girls, what do you think that is? Can you see it? It's not maybe a very clear picture. It's in a tank and it lives in the sea. What do you think, Laura? It's a turtle. Now, that's a big one. I think it had been injured and it was kept in the tank for its own safety. It was trying to get out. It was trying to get at us. But I actually held a baby turtle. I don't know what's happened to that picture. I held one in my hands, and its wee flippers are going like this, trying to get away from me, I think. But that was one of the big ones, which was quite scary, trying to jump out of the tank at me. What they do is they collect all the eggs off the beach because they get predated on by all the birds. All the birds come and peck the eggs when they're hatching and eat them, so the turtles don't get a chance. But they take all the eggs off the beach and they bring them into this place and they hatch them out and then they release them when they're big enough. Next one, Harry. Right. This is what's called a stick fisherman. Do you see the man at the back? He's actually standing on like a cross stick, like that. Now, he must have very good balance. The guy couldn't do that. And he's fishing. He's got a spear and he's catching fish. Now, that used to be the way they did all their fishing. I don't think there's so much of it happening now because There's other things. Sri Lanka is famous for tourists. I think I have 13,000 hotels or something in Sri Lanka. But it's got beautiful beaches and lovely scenery. But the main thing there is the people. They were the loveliest people. They were so nice. They came on the ship and they were all smiles. Even if they didn't understand what you were saying to them, you would nod and you'd smile and you'd say hello. And they would smile back at you. And they would go around and see the books. Oh, I was going to say something else. On the way into the library where all the books were, there was a mural. And it was a mural of the prodigal son. That means a big picture. A big picture of the prodigal son that had been painted by the crew, by the people working. And it was up on the walls as people came in. And I forgot to say also, what these young people did was they went out to wherever place the boat was sitting, berth, and they went to the churches, they went to the colleges, they went to the schools. But the main thing they were there for was to preach the gospel. Now, I'd like you to think about that one. That was what they were there for. Their main aim was to preach the gospel, to tell everybody about Jesus. So I give you a wee challenge, boys and girls. Do you ever say anything about Jesus to any of your pals? Do you ever say you go to church or Sunday school? Yeah? So a wee challenge for everybody, I think, because we're all bad at talking to other people. Unless there's any questions, that's everything I've got to say.
Is there any questions you want to ask? Do you know where Sri Lanka is?
Where is Sri Lanka? It's at the bottom of India. You go down to the bottom of India, it's in the Bay of Bengal, and it's not a very big island. It's quite large.
Do the folk at the back know the old name for Sri Lanka?
Yes, who knows that? Who knows the old name? That's right, yeah, well, Ceylon is what it used to be called, yes.
So it's famous for...
that brought Christianity to Sri Lanka.
There we go. Look.
There we are. That's it.
And it's so, most famous for its tea.
The southern bit, right? Colombo is up a bit on the left-hand side there. But Gaul is a city. I just realised that. I didn't know. I was looking this up. Gaul is a city. It's a big place. And it's got all sorts of things in it. It's got colleges. It's got shops. It's got temples, Buddhist temples, because 70% of the people are Buddhist. Right? So only a very small minority are Christian.
Right. Thank you very much, Kathleen.
Thank you.
And Alison. So today we're thinking about folk around the world, but instead of all of the world, we're thinking particularly of Sri Lanka. And we think about them particularly because on Easter Sunday, when they were in church, a bomber came along and killed a lot of them, 250 of them. So we're having an offering today. That's why there are envelopes in the pew to support the people out there as they try and rebuild their lives after their big tragedy. Christian aid is helping other people, as the word would say, Christian and aid, Christian help. So we're just trying to help folk who are like ourselves. They're just same as us, different colour face, but they just follow Jesus too. And the money that's raised today will go to the Church of Scotland Church in Colombo in Sri Lanka so that they can help the people who are set back by the tragedy. There's a Church of Scotland church in 25 different countries, including Sri Lanka. So let's sing together number 228. What has inspired Christian aid and all Christians to aid is that Jesus' hands were kind hands and we try to be like him.
Thank you.
Now let's turn to the Word of God, reading from John's Gospel, chapter 21, and reading from verse 1. After this, Jesus appeared once more to his disciples at Lake Tiberias. This is how it happened. Simon Peter, Thomas called the twin, Nathanael, the one from Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two other disciples of Jesus were all together. Simon Peter said to the others, "I'm going fishing." "We will come with you," they said. So they went out in a boat, but all that night they didn't catch a thing. As the sun was rising, Jesus stood at the water's edge, but the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Then he asked them, "Young men, haven't you caught anything?" "Not a thing," they answered. He said to them, "Throw your net out on the right side of the boat, and you'll catch some." So they threw the net out and couldn't pull it back in because they had caught so many fish. The disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." When Peter heard that it was the Lord, he wrapped his outer garment round him, for he had taken his clothes off, and jumped into the water. The other disciples came to shore in the boat, pulling the net full of fish. They were not very far from the land, about 100 meters away. When they stepped ashore, they saw a charcoal fire there with fish on it and some bread. Then Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish that you've caught." Simon Peter went aboard and dragged the net ashore full of big fish, 153 of them. Even though there were so many, still the net did not tear. Jesus said to them, "Come and eat." None of the disciples dared ask him, "Who are you?" because they knew it was the Lord. So Jesus went over, took the bread, and gave it to them. He did the same with the fish. This then was the third time Jesus appeared to the disciples after he was raised from death. After they had eaten, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these others do?" "Yes, Lord," he answered, "you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Take care of my lambs." A second time Jesus said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" "Yes, Lord," he answered, "you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Take care of my sheep." A third time Jesus said, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was sad because Jesus asked him the third time, "Do you love me?" So he said to him, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Take care of my sheep. I'm telling you the truth. When you were young, you used to get ready and go anywhere you wanted to. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will bind you and take you where you don't want to go." In saying this, Jesus was indicating the way in which Peter would die and bring glory to God. Then Jesus said to him, "Follow me." Amen, and thanks be to God. Now let's sing together hymn 211, "Jesus Calls Us." 211. In this post-Easter period, we're thinking of Jesus and his resurrection appearances. Last week it was to Cleopas and his friend on the road to Emmaus. Today it's to Peter and the other disciples on the Sea of Galilee, Lake Tiberias. We're also meeting in the context of Christian Aid Week, and we're thinking particularly of Sri Lanka with that atrocity on Easter Sunday morning when 253 people were killed in three churches worshipping as well as in hotels. In John 21, verse 1, we're reading, "The disciples were at Lake Tiberias, another name for the Sea of Galilee. And there was Simon Peter," the first name to be mentioned. Think about that. Simon Peter, who just days ago had denied his Lord and Master. Jesus had predicted it, and right on cue, as the cock was crowing, ushering in a new day, on cue, Peter denied three times. He denied his Lord and Master, his best friend, his Saviour and God, the light of the world. And then, worst of all, the way it just happened by coincidence, Peter and Jesus bumped into each other briefly as the accused was being dragged away. Peter's eyes met Jesus' eyes. For Jesus, it must have been one of the most hurtful things in the whole experience. Being killed by Romans, let down by Jews, but most of all, betrayed by Judas, denied by Peter, forsaken by the 12. And Peter looked into his eyes, and it was the defining moment of his life. He just ran out and wept bitterly. What could he say? How could he ever forgive himself? His colleague Judas, he couldn't forgive himself. He acted as judge and jury and decided there's no way back for me and hung himself. But the amazing thing is that Peter didn't hang himself. Instead, he was back with the disciples, hanging around with them, so that when Jesus did rise, he was in a position to be forgiven. Judas had cut that avenue off for himself. Peter was in a lifetime of being impulsive, rushing in where angels fear to tread, opening his big mouth, putting his foot in it. Peter was the guy that would be making lots of mistakes, but he was likable. And he would be the sort of guy that would hang around and he would make it up again. So there was, and first to be named is Simon Peter in John's account. And then there was Thomas and Nathaniel, the sons of Zebedee, James and John, and two other unnamed disciples, altogether making up the not-so-magnificent seven. They had all failed Jesus in their own different ways. Peter was a natural leader. When they're sitting moping around together, he's the one who says, "Listen, guys, I'm going fishing. Are you coming?" And so they tag along with him. And then as they're fishing, Jesus appears. But as with the other resurrection appearances, they don't recognize him at once. He shouts from the shore, "How are you getting on? Have you caught anything?" "No." "Well, try putting the net out the other side." And then bingo, the net is bulging with fish. They're struggling to pull it in. The disciple whom Jesus loved says to Peter, "It is the Lord." John in his gospel never mentions in all the lists of disciples, John. But we always get this phrase, "the disciple whom Jesus loved." So everybody reckons it's John's own description for himself. Jesus must have said that to him sometime, maybe more than once. a bit of the Bruce Forsyth, you know, you're my favourite. But it stuck with John, and he loved that title, and he was proud of that title, the disciple whom Jesus loved. Anyway, John and Peter were always together. Remember when they went to investigate the tomb? They both ran to the tomb, but John, being fitter, got there first. But he hesitated. Peter coming up behind, out of breath. He didn't hesitate. He went straight in. So, John, when he says, "That's Jesus," John stays put. Peter goes overboard. He jumps into the water, wades ashore. They're 100 metres from the shore. Not the first time Peter had gone overboard and rushed to Jesus. The previous time in the same Sea of Galilee, as soon as he went overboard, he started to sink and he cried, "Help me, Lord." And Jesus holds him by the hand and he has the thrill of walking on water. There were 153 fish in all. They counted them. It was a record. And the net didn't break. That was the other miracle. Jesus calls them over. There's a charcoal fire, some fish already on it, and the barbecue begun. And Jesus says, "Come and eat. Bring some of the fish you've caught." You see the gospel writer stressing the fact Jesus rose from the dead with a physical body. He was able to eat fish. He was able to barbecue. He was not a ghost, not a some sort of ephemeral, wispy figure. A real live, alive being with a body. None of the disciples dared to ask him, "Who are you?" They all knew now who he is. They'd spent 3 years with him. They knew what he looked like. They weren't expecting him to be risen from the dead. But how concrete does Jesus have to make it? Let's have a picnic then. It wasn't the first time that Jesus took bread and fish and broke it and gave it to them. Remember the picnic lunch, the 5,000 being fed? So Jesus, after they've eaten, gets Simon Peter to the side a minute. "Just a wee word, Simon. Do you love me more than all these others?" Because Peter at one time, you see, had professed loyalty, undying loyalty. "Even if all these others let you down, you can always count on me. I'll never fail you or forsake you or let you down." "Simon, do you love me more than all these others?" Peter replies, "You know I love you." There's no bravado this time in his voice. "Take care of my lambs then." And they go through this 3 times. Peter very quickly twigs this is to exorcise the ghost of the 3 denials. It does him good. It is therapy. It exorcises the ghost of guilt. And Jesus still wants him. He's got a job for him to do. He's got a mission, a purpose in life. Feed my sheep. Lead my people. Preach the gospel. Spread the word. The world is made up of lost sheep who are hungry for food, spiritual food, the good news food. Just as former druggies are well placed to help druggies, previous sinners are well equipped to help other sinners. Jesus calls each of us, all of us, to speak from our experience. We've been there, we've done it. When you've been to Sri Lanka, you tell somebody else. When you have denied your Lord, you can speak to someone else who's denied their Lord. When you've betrayed him, speak to someone who's betrayed him. When you've forsaken him, speak to someone who forsook him. Jesus needs ordinary folk like ourselves to meet ordinary folk like the folk up the street. You see, there's a place for the world traveller evangelist like St. Paul. There's a place for the great scholar and theologian like John, who wrote the gospel here. But there's an awful lot of vacancies for ordinary Petes from down the street who can go and speak to other Petes and say, I know how you feel. I've been there. I've done it. He loved me. He forgave me. He gave me a fresh start. You can't beat that. Even God needs human frailty as part of his ministry. And so we support today Christian Aid. Not only the organization, but Christian Aiding, where we as Christians reach out, not only with our words, but we reach folk with practical service. Even God, in all his almighty power, needs little old us with our hands to go next door with a practical help. When Andrew Taylor was on the ground, it was a wee boy that discovered him. He had to lay there till somebody came, and the wee boy got his dad. Feed my sheep is the call to all of us to do what we can, where we can, as often as we can. Jesus said one last thing to Peter, which is an important footnote to this. Feeding my sheep will be costly. Jesus said, I was led like a sheep to the slaughter, to quote Isaiah 53. You, as my disciples, will also have to take up a cross. It will cost you the rest of your life, and it may cost you your life. He said to Peter, someone will bind you and take you where you don't want to go. And John writes in brackets, in saying this, Jesus was indicating the way in which Peter would die and bring glory to God. The tradition is that Peter was in Rome when they were being persecuted by Emperor Nero. He was blaming the Christians for the fire of Rome. In truth, it was probably Nero that set fire to it himself so he could rebuild it in his own image, a grand building scheme. But the Christians got the blame and they copped it. And it got so hot in the kitchen in Rome that Peter decided to leave. But on the road out of Rome, he meets Jesus. And Jesus says to him, where are you going, Peter? Oh, I'm fleeing for my life from this violent city and the persecutions. Where are you going, Master? Well, Peter, I'm going into Rome, because there are still some of my disciples there, and I'm going to be supportive of them. So Peter turned around and went into Rome again with Jesus. And sure enough, he was arrested and he was executed. Tradition says that he was executed upside down on a cross. We're not sure of that 100%. But Jesus calls you and me to blood, sweat and tears, to faithful, daily, taking up our cross and following him, living for him and, if necessary, dying for him. Of the 12 disciples, Judas hung himself. Of the 11, 10 of them were martyred for their faith. John was the exception. He was exiled to the Isle of Patmos for the rest of his life. He lived to a ripe old age and wrote the book of Revelation at the end. All over the world today, there is severe persecution of Christians. On the BBC News just the other day, it said Christians are being persecuted in over 50 countries, and there's probably 240 million Christians being persecuted. Take one of them, Asia Bibi. a Pakistani woman. She was going to drink from the same cup as two Muslim women. When the Muslim women stopped her and were offended by it, and they accused her of blasphemy. Pakistan is famous for its blasphemy laws, and because of their blasphemy laws, many folk have been executed. She was arrested, found guilty of blasphemy, and given a life sentence. She spent 8 years on death row. Eventually, people supported her case. One of the Pakistani MPs who supported her case was assassinated for his efforts. But the Supreme Court eventually acquitted her. Although she was deemed to be innocent, there were riots on the streets, and people vowed that they would kill her. It would not be safe for her to live in Pakistan ever again. A native-born Pakistani who'd never been anywhere else. Eventually, she's had to flee, and Canada has given her safe haven. But the extremists have vowed that they will find her in Canada and execute her there. She's only one of millions and millions of Christians. The Barnabas Fund charity has been set up to support persecuted Christians all over the world. It's never easy to be a Christian at any time, anywhere. God knows. That's why he is with us. The risen Christ is here. That's why we support our fellow Christians. That's why we support anyone of any faith who is persecuted for their faith. We have a fellow feeling for the New Zealanders killed in their mosque, or the Jews in America killed in the synagogues. And we support the Barnabas Fund, Christian Aid, and other charities. And that's why today we're supporting in particular the people of Sri Lanka. Now the offering for Sri Lanka and our regular offering will now be received. Thank you for your donations. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you that risen from the dead, you are alive and kicking and here and now with us and for us. And you are with your people all around the world. And we thank you for calling us to feed your sheep and share in your life and ministry. And so we offer our time, our talents, our money, and whatever we can do that we might aid others in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Now let's sing together the hymn on the back of your sheets, Christ is the world in which we move. Let us pray. Risen Lord Jesus, we celebrate your rising again. When you burst into our lives and speak our name, like you did to Mary, you turn our sighing into singing, our tears of grief into tears of joy, our laments into laughter. When you walk beside us on the journey of life, as you did with Cleopas and his friend on the road to Emmaus, you open our eyes, you give us understanding, you cause our hearts to burn within us. When you make a special appearance just for us, to allay our fears and answer our doubts, like you did for Thomas, you cause us to fall at your feet, exclaiming, "My Lord and my God." When you stop us in our tracks and prevent us making big mistakes, like you stopped Saul of Tarsus on the road to Damascus in Syria to persecute and kill Christians, you save us from ourselves. You turn our lives completely around, from persecutors to preachers. You make us into missionaries. When you draw us aside to have a word in our ear, like you did to Simon Peter, and call us to feed your sheep, you exorcise our ghosts of past sins. You make us feel wanted. You give us a purpose, a mission in life. And like Mary, Cleopas, Thomas, Saul, Peter, we dedicate the rest of our lives to your service and the service of your sheep and lambs. Work in us and through us for the spread of your gospel and the extension of your kingdom. And hear us as we bring to you our particular prayers today. We pray for those who are ill. We think of Joe Barraclough, Angus MacLeod, Ruth Cowan, Ruth Carson. We pray for Harry Duff, John Hunter, for Beth McCracken, Kathleen Dickey. And we pray for those who are mourning the loss of their loved ones. And we pray for the wider world. We pray for South Africa, where the ANC have won the election again under Cyril Ramaphosa. We pray that they might be able to tackle the huge problems that they now face. We think of America and China in a world-scale trade war. Syria, where 500,000 people have been killed in the past 8 years. And President Assad, supported by Russia and Iran, is further attacking the last rebel strongholds, and 3 million people are caught up under fire. We think of Yemen, where the Houthi rebels have backed off from the major ports, which are the access for food and medicine. And we pray that the ceasefire may hold. We pray for Venezuela in civil war. Israelis and Palestinians lobbing missiles at each other. North Korea launching missiles again. Iran threatening to do so. We pray for persecuted Christians all around the world. We pray for Sri Lanka picking up the pieces after Easter Sunday. We pray for the Brexit negotiations. We pray for our world facing global climate change. 1 million species are in danger of extinction due to human activity. We pray for your church throughout the world. As a presbytery today, we think of Fairleigh, linked with Largs St. Columbus, and their new minister, the Reverend Dr. Graham McWilliams. But we pray for our own congregation, and we pray for people throughout the world today. In your name, amen. Amen. Let's sing together hymn 485, "Lord, Speak to Me That I May Speak." We'll miss out verse 3. Miss out verse 3. All I've told, as thou hast known. forth into the world to love the Lord and serve the people, to love the people and serve the Lord. And the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with you now and evermore.